Good afternoon and welcome all to Tuesday Noonday Bible Study here at Cross Culture Church. We welcome all you who are listening by podcast and all who are with us today. Today we will be discussing and looking at the subject of Blood of the Covenant and Spiritual Warfare, Part 1. Now, what we want to look at in starting with is the ultimate covenant. Now, blood biblically means that a life has been shed. A blood covenant is the strongest kind of covenant because it involves the sacrifice of a life, a total commitment. The blood allows the covenant to take place, and blood is demanded if the covenant is broken. The children of Israel put lamb's blood on the doorposts, as we read in the Old Testament, and on their doorposts and lintel of their houses in Egypt, and we in Exodus 12. And that was to show that they had chosen to be a part of the covenant. Now, I'd like to, chosen. Remember that the children of Israel experienced the 10 plagues that God brought on Egypt because of Pharaoh's rebellion. So they've seen and they had firsthand experience, and they saw what God, the power of the mighty God that they believed in. So they said, look, if the Lord tells us to put blood on the doorpost, we're going to do it. Now, the blood was a sign that they had received the covenant. And again, Exodus 12. The covenant then protected them from death and destruction. The sign of the blood was over the doorway, above for salvation, on either side. Remember, they put it on the doorway and on both sides and on either side for protection. This is an amazing foreshadow of the cross of Jesus. Exodus 12:23, and I'm reading this from the Complete Jewish Bible. And Yahweh will pass to strike Egypt, and he will see the blood on the lintel and on the two-sided posts. And Yahweh will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike. Exodus 12:23. Now, in the New Testament, we have in 1 Corinthians 11:25 and Matthew 26:28, I encourage you to look at those two scripture verses, because this cup is a new covenant of my blood, is what Jesus told his disciples at Passover. The blood of the covenant wherein he was sanctified, as in Hebrews 10:20. Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you. Exodus 24:18, Hebrews 9:20. The blood of the everlasting covenant, and that's Hebrews 13:21. Please look at those, go in your study time, go and look at these scriptures as they relate and give us insight into the blood covenant. Now, the blood is one of the strangest and the deepest and the mightiest and the most heavenly of the thoughts of God. Let me say that again. The blood is one of the strangest, because often people I've heard, and even I, question, why would God require blood? So it's one of the strangest, but it's one of the deepest, one of the mightiest, and the most heavenly of the thoughts of God. It lies at the very root of both covenants. but especially the new covenant. The difference between the two covenants is the difference between the blood of beasts and the blood of the Lamb. The difference between the two covenants, the Old Testament covenant was of animal. The New Testament was from the blood of the Lamb of God, the Son of God. Okay? The power of the new covenant has no lesser measure than the worth of the blood of the Son of God. The Christian experience ought to know of no standard of peace with God and purity from sin and power over the world than the blood of Christ can give. If believers would enter truly and fully into all the new covenant, just really enter truly and fully into all the new covenant is meant to be, I beseech believers to let God reveal the worth and the power of the blood of the covenant, the precious blood of Jesus. What I'm suggesting, to really, really get to see the power of the blood, ask God to give you the revelation and the understanding, because the power of the blood is just, it's just all I can say is that it is supernatural. Amen. Now, let's look at the first covenant. The first covenant was not brought in without blood. There could be no covenant of friendship between a holy God and a sinful man without atonement and reconciliation, and no atonement without a death as the penalty of sin. I have given you the blood upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17:11. The blood shed in death meant the death of a sacrifice slain for sin of man. The blood sprinkled on the altar meant that vicarious death accepted of God for the sinful one. No forgiveness, no covenant without blood shedding. Now, let's look at this. All this was but type and shadow of what was one day to become a mystery to a reality. What no thought of man or angel could ever conceive, what even now passes all understanding, the eternal Son of God took flesh and blood, and then shed that blood as the blood of the new covenant, not merely to ratify it, but to open the way for it and to make it possible in time and eternity, the living power by which entrance into the covenant was to be obtained. The Old Testament speaks of the mysteries that the prophets were given some tidbits and some nuggets of what was to come, the mystery of the blood that would be shed, the perfect blood. Paul tells us the mystery which was not angels didn't know. And it was not until the New Testament that the mystery is revealed in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. until now, you know, when we look at this, the New Testament, which is the final covenant, because there's no need for any more blood shed, because the sinless blood of the Son of God was shed, which was the perpetuation, which satisfied Father God for the sin of mankind. But to open the way, this bloodshed on the cross opened the way for humanity to come and be reconciled back to God and find peace with Him in man's limited lifetime in the flesh, but also in eternity. Until we learn to form an expectation of a life in the new covenant, and let me say, till we learn to form, you know, when we talk about expectations from God, I remember when I first was hearing a teaching on, you know, that God really expects us to expect Him to perform His word. And, you know, it's like, oh, how can I put that kind of, no, we are to form expectations of a life in the new covenant according to the inconceivable worth and power of the blood of God's Son. We can never have even an insight into the entirely supernatural and heavenly life that a child of God may live until we get the revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus. Now, let's look at how Scripture teaches us to regard this wonderful gift. I ask you to turn to Hebrews 9:15 and look at that. In this passage we read, "For this cause Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that a death having taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they that have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance." The sins of the ages of the first covenant, which had only figuratively been atoned for, had gathered up before God. Isn't that something? A death was needed for the redemption of these. In that death and blood shedding of the Lamb of God, not only were these atoned for, but the power of all sin was forever broken. Hallelujah. The blood of the new covenant is redemption blood, a purchase price and ransom from the power of the sin and the law. In any purchase made on earth, the transference of the property from the old owner to the new is complete. Its worth may be ever so great and the hold on it ever so strong. If the price be paid, it's gone forever from whoever owned it. The whole sin had on us, mankind, was terrible. No thought can realize its legitimate claim on it under God's law. It's an awful tyrant power in enslaving us. but the blood of God's Son has paid. Scripture tells us, ye were redeemed, not with corruptible things. 1 Peter 1:18. Christians have been rescued, ransomed, redeemed out of our natural life under the power of sin, utterly and eternally. Sin has not the slightest claim on us, nor the slightest power over us, except as our ignorance or unbelief, or even more so, half-heartedness allows it to have dominion. Our new covenant birthright is to stand in the freedom with which Christ has made us free. Until the soul sees and desires and accepts and claims the redemption and the liberty which has the blood of the Son of God for its purchase price and its measure and its security, it can never fully live the new covenant life. Let me repeat that. Until the soul sees and desires and accepts and claims the redemption and the liberty which has the blood of the Son of God for its purchase price and its measure and its security, it can never fully live the new covenant life. And the new covenant life is the super coming down to the natural in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you all to read the scriptures that were given today. Prayerfully ask God for greater revelation as you read the scriptures, and God will give it to you. The Lord will give it to you by the power of His Holy Spirit. Next week, we will pick up on part 2 of the blood of the covenant and spiritual warfare. I truly hope you have been blessed, and God willing, we'll meet together again next Tuesday. Be blessed. Amen.